I don't think that it's exceptional to be supportive of what your child wants to do. I do understand that's the narrative. The thing that's special is the relationship and the ability to participate in something that's endearing, exciting. It was m as much fun for me as it is for you.
In 2020, before the world hit pause, its rotating axis came to a complete halt with the death of 9 people, including Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna, affectionately known as Gigi. On January 26, the basketball icon, his 13-year-old daughter, two of her teammates, and their families were on their way to a girls' basketball tournament when they died in a helicopter crash. I heard the news while having breakfast with my dad during a training camp in Woodland Park, Colorado. He had come to visit me just 2 days before my 28th birthday. It's strange to cry real crocodile tears for people you've never met, but that's exactly what I did. And my dad did what he always does, watched and listened somberly to my response and asked me what I would do with the emotion, if I could comb through the feeling to decipher what it means and how I could use it. Our conclusion? If you feel saddened by the loss of a person and their impact, let it serve as a reminder that time is limited for everyone. But energy, enthusiasm, and vigor for life should always persist. I'm not the only person that felt the urgency of life gone too soon. Globally, tributes to Kobe began to pour in. One of those tributes included ESPN anchor Elle Duncan's SportsCenter segment, where she told viewers about the only time she met Kobe Bryant back in 2018. During the interaction, he shared his passion for being a girl dad. Duncan's story quickly went viral. And so did, in Elle's words, all the proud fathers who still have their girls to love on. We are 4 years removed from this tragic day, and on the surface, as we continue to learn and apply the legacy of Kobe and his daughter, just below those powerful lessons live the sentiment that the need for an empowering hashtag is an acknowledgement that there's a negative connotation that comes with having girls. Here on the podcast with me today is my girl dad, Clifton Hall, a father of two, brother, husband, proud New Yorker, TikTok enthusiast, gardener, Wesleyan grad, physician, and close to, if not my number one fan. We're talking about building relationships with fathers through sport, people giving you permission to see your life in a new way, and moving beyond hashtags to support girls in real life.
Hi, Dad. Happy early Father's Day. Welcome to Unexpected Curves, the sports show where we give the girls some support. We start every episode with three questions. Where are you? What are you working on? And who in women's sports are you watching?
Well, it's good to hear from you. I don't get to hear from you often, so I have to do a podcast to get to talk to you, but that's okay. I'll do my best. So I'm here in Philadelphia. I'm in a hospital working in my office, hiding out, talking to you. And I'd say I'm working on digging myself and people around me out of post-COVID working in a hospital situation. It's been an interesting couple of years. I think things are getting back to normal or the new normal, and I'm just trying to make adjustments, as is everyone else. But in terms of who I'm watching in women's sports, I'm a big fan of the Bayou Barbie, Angel Reese, and so I'm following her along and how she's growing the sport and how it's interacting with all the other rookies in the WNBA.
Yeah, I just saw that Cheryl Swoops chimed in to say that Angel is one of her top picks for Rookie of the Year. So I'm excited to see, with such a rich class, who ends up taking home that award. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll get right into it. Okay, when you found out you were having girls, honest answers only, how did you feel about it? And what was the response from your family, friends, and community?
Well, naturally, I was very excited. You were the second of my two girls, so I had a head start, but that didn't help because you are your own person. But in terms of the responses and how other people viewed it, I can't say specifically. The only thing that comes to mind is I remember my father asking me, "How do I feel having a child that's not going to carry my name?" which was a something I never thought about. I still don't think about it, but it was an interesting take on how people viewed having children, different genders, and what the implications of that were.
That sentiment reflects how people view legacy. And obviously we know that there's a lot more ways to carry legacy outside of gender, but that's a good point. That may have been an older view of how you maintain family and the legacy of the people in your family. One of the things that Julie, a professor of sociology at Washington State University, talks about is the way we view fathers alters people's livelihoods. She leads research that empirically explores the concept of our society's fatherhood bonus. So a phenomenon where men become more valuable employees and receive promotions when they become fathers. And conversely, women suffer a motherhood penalty. So they're devalued or fired once they become a mom. How do you think becoming a parent in your social circle differed between you and mom?
Well, there was a significant difference. At that time, there wasn't really a movement towards maternal leave or paternal leave as it exists now. And there were expectations that a mother would stay home, take care of kids, and a father would go to work and be less present and less active in day-to-day domestic type raising children activities. I think there's been a fundamental shift in that mentality in most workplaces now. It's not just maternal leave, but the expectations that there is paternal leave and that there is joint engagement as it relates to raising children, being present and being active.
And I think for us, part of that shift and part of the relationship that we were able to have was through sport. In my memory, track was the first time we really spent time alone. So I look at running as this really great origin story for a foundation of our connection. What has been your favorite part about watching my growth in sport and our relationship through it?
One of the interesting things is that this isn't something that I motivated you or pushed you to do. It is really a journey that you have engaged yourself. You've been the motivating force. You've been the person with the intensity, the discipline to carry your journey forward. I've been a supportive spectator, an enthusiastic supportive spectator, and I think you've taught me a lot of things about the mentality of wanting to be the best at something. I wanted to be a really good doctor, but I didn't ever think of myself as wanting to be the best doctor in the world. And I think that wherever your journey has led you, that was your mentality. And not everybody understands that kind of mentality. It's something that separates you in the way that you think from most people. And that's been probably the most interesting part of watching what you have done and accomplishment I'm very proud of, but also very respecting of how you've gone about it, as much as any of the outcome.
And I feel like I very much appreciated you and mom letting me dictate the pace of my commitment. I never felt pressured by your expectations for things. It was always an internal pressure to do my best because that's what I expected from myself. But aside from that, I think my favorite part about being in sport, being in track and field with you was getting to know you as a person outside of my dad. So long car rides to practice or track meets meant I was hearing what kind of music you liked, figuring out your humor, your disdain for disorder. I, much to your displeasure, probably left my spikes at home a dozen times. And Spill the Wine is still one of my favorite songs because that was a song you played nonstop.
Yeah, it was very interesting. An hour into our ride to a track meet at 6 o'clock in the morning, looking in the rearview mirror with you whimpering and ask you, why are you crying?
Yes, those were not our best moments, possibly more tense than they needed to be, but I've learned to at least try to prepare myself to be better organized for situations because of those early days. But your exposure growing up was more basketball, football, soccer. We touched a little bit about observations of me in the sport, but what did you think about the world of running and track as a whole, the environment surrounding the sport?
I immediately, because of your intensity and discipline around pursuing these things, it was really important for me to learn what the focus is and what's important in terms of training, nutrition, competition. I learned a lot from Derek Thompson. He taught us what high-level competition was and what goes along with that. I enjoyed the travel. That was exciting, getting to go to places that I may or may not have seen without your journey. And also meeting people from different walks of life. One of the things when you are in that world, people come from all over the country, they come from all kinds of circumstances. You spend a lot of downtime at track meets and you get to meet a lot of nice, interesting people. So you were in the competition, but I enjoyed being in the environment and seeing other athletes pursuing their passion.
I also wanted to take a closer look at how other people had reflected on the relationship between girls and their fathers. The hashtag girl dad was popularized after Kobe's death. Why do you think people had such a visceral response to Duncan's reflection on ESPN?
I think that fortunately, there is a sense of girl activities or young women activities being less than. And it is different, but I never wanted you or your sister or in any endeavor to feel less than. I think people had a visceral response because they wanted people to understand that they were just as passionate and just as enthusiastic and just as joyous of their girl activity and their engagement with it as anything else. For me, especially when you're talking about young girls, they are just so much more intense and enthusiastic and seem like they're having fun at the same time, very intense about competition. And that's very exciting to be a part of.
And it's hard to openly find critique with something like a girl dad hashtag when it's celebrating fatherhood and celebrating connection. But I think in this context, being a girl dad is praised because society views fathers as brave or endearing for engaging with their daughters. This type of praise alludes to the idea that active involvement in parenting, especially with daughters, isn't a norm, but a sort of exceptional commitment.
I understand what you describe, but I think that I would say I don't accept the pretext. So what I would say for myself is if you have a child, whether they're a girl or a boy, but here we're talking about girls, it's your responsibility to make sure that whatever they are enthusiastic or passionate or have a vision for, that you are there to optimize whatever's necessary to make sure they realize what it is that they want to do. I don't think that it's exceptional to be supportive of what your child wants to do. I do understand that's the narrative. The thing that's special is the relationship and the ability to participate in something that's endearing, exciting. It was m as much fun for me as it is for you. I definitely
In
think men and women experience parenthood from different vantage points. Now, that doesn't have to be bad, it's just different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are more barriers to entry for us to connect. We're already a different gender, so the world responds to us in a different way, and there's already an expectation that.
We'll write that down because I will contest that. Barrier has a negative connotation.
There is, Dad. There's structurally policies in place that make it so you shouldn't ever be home. You should always be at work. And structurally, there are policies in place so women should always be at home and never at work. That is true. It's literally true. It's true. So it's not.
on, I understand what you're saying.
It's
This
a.
isn't a
It's a.
good.
But Dad, if there is a patriarchy, there are structures in place that make things different, and it's a credit to you for finding something which is sport, something that allows you to break the mold. Because how it is set up, we shouldn't spend that much time together. We shouldn't have this common interest. There shouldn't be an avenue for girls and women to have self-expression, to push themselves really hard, to create this type of community where you're breaking up these structures of relationships that are supposed to only work in this linear, non-dynamic way. Instead, sport is an opportunity to change the balance of those things, where the girls only hang out with the mom and the dad only hangs out with the boys, and we don't have common interests, we're too different. It's a path
Okay,
that.
well, that's an important phraseology. It is a path, not the only one, because I don't want to make it sound like if you're not participating in the sport and you're a girl, then your
No.
father won't be interested. You don't want to say that.
No, it's
But
just in for the context of the conversation, you do have to acknowledge that girls don't have as clear as path as boys do to have connections with their fathers. Unless there's a concerted effort to make the relationship. It's already assumed if you're a boy, you and your dad will be friends. That's not the assumption for girls.
okay, fine. Let me ask you this then. How do you look at going beyond the virtual signaling of hashtags? We won't ignore the importance that online discourse plays in how we understand ourselves and the world around us, but how do we support girls in real life?
I fully embrace social media, but I also come from a time where there was no social media. So my values and what I emphasize in life as it relates to raising a girl, raising you, raising your sister, predated any influence of social media. But of course, everyone is influenced by the environment around them. But for me, I have a set of standards. We as a family have a set of standards. We have expectations. We have values that we think that are important for all of us to embrace. And those are the values that we live by, not what's on the internet. And I would hope that those are the things that guide how you view life.
When I look at it, I feel as if you never really altered your behavior to compensate for our gender differences. So when you gave me advice or guidance or cheering me on, it didn't feel specific to gender. It felt specific to me as a person and the tools that you had, the experience that you had from life, being able to translate that to be tailor-made specific to who I was as a person, that ends up being what was most helpful.
Track meets and competition is one thing, but we've spent hours and hours and hours. Most of the conversations have been about when things haven't gone well. Everybody's happy when things go well. And the conversations are mostly about how do you rebound from disappointment and how do you sustain, difficult.
Yeah, running offered a space to be vulnerable about disappointment and feel like I could come to you, talk to you about that. And you weren't thinking of me as weak or less than, but again, you're just engaging with me as a person, trying to help me achieve the things that I'm working towards.
That's absolutely true. I mean, I would want for you to feel supported and to feel like there was nothing that you couldn't do that you put your mind and your efforts to. Like I said previously, you're a very disciplined person, passionate about what you set about to do. And again, my role was to support that because it was all positive. It sort of helps also that I could never do what you do.
True, 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 true. I'll make sure to get that, keep that clip for any time you tell me to do something, I'll just play that sound bite. Girl, dad aside, thank you for just being my dad, a parent showing up for their kid the best way you know how.
Well, it's been a pleasure and a joy. most of the time.
Ha ha ha. I'm the editor, so I can cut that.